If you see the lights blinking, if you see the lights blinking, shoot me a text. The battery will be dead by the time you get there. Five police cars are sitting around it going, this car's demon possessed. All right. John chapter 12 tonight. We're going to continue on with, but we're starting a new chapter. But in John chapter 12, we're following the events that took place with the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and talked about the will of God and talked about the willingness of people to submit. But tonight I want to preach to you about gratitude. And I think I need to preach on that, and this is how God ordained it to be so, because we ain't going to be here for Thanksgiving week. So I'm going to go ahead and get my Thanksgiving message in for you tonight. And I think it just happened. I'm not going to call it a coincidence. I'm going to call it God. Because I think God works everything out the way He thinks it needs to be worked out. And there's no, I mean, I don't think there's any accidents. There's been a few things that's happened in my life. I know where sometimes I wonder how I wound up where I did. And sometimes I wonder that the Lord ain't sitting up there going, now, how'd you get there? But anyway, we know that the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. He knows everything. He's got everything well in hand and well in control. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the details of things that we oftentimes just forget to do the smallest of things, and that is just to stop and say thank you. You know, I tell you, I'm going to tell you something. I was praying the other day, and thank you, Lord, for bringing this back to my mind, but I was praying the other day, and as I was praying and talking to the Lord, I was beginning to just think about how is it that I could just do something to show my appreciation for everything He's done for me, everything He's brought me through, every trial that I faced and He has given me victory over, every storm that He's guided my vessel through and come out on the other side and got the blessing to see the sunshine again, every mountain that I climbed and He showed me the peak of it and then gave me a chance to look down the valley and give me the comfort of knowing that even though I was fixing to tip-top the mountain and have a great time with Him, but back in the valley I go, He was going to go with me and I wasn't going to have to go alone. And I'm all those things that He's done, and you can have those things in your mind too, the things that He's done for you. And in all of this, you look at it and you say, how, what can I do? How could I ever come close to just showing in some way the appreciation for everything that He's done? And you know something that occurred to me, and this is as profound as I have ever had God show me something, but He just put it in my heart and said, how about just thank you? You know, whenever somebody does something for you and you want to show your appreciation, so you try to give them a card or you try to send them a gift or you try to take them out to dinner, you know, you do something to try to show your appreciation. But what are you going to do for the Creator of the universe? What are you going to do for Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end? How are you going to do something to show your appreciation to the one who flung the stars into existence and spoke the worlds? How are you going to show your appreciation to Him? And it just is, it's as simple as just thank you. But you know, there's a difference, I think. There's a difference in somebody who just says, you know, it's like you know, you're going through the drive-thru and the guy opens up the window and you hand him the cash and he hands you your change back and you say thank you. It's different than that. There should be a heartfelt something behind that. Whenever, I mean, it's like I almost wonder how the heart condition of the men that went away healed of their leprosy when the Lord told them to go show themselves to the priest, and then the desire of heart. I'm sure they were all thankful for not having had their leprosy anymore, because that in that day and time was a death sentence for somebody. There was no way of curing that. So here these 10 men are, and then all of them are sure. I'm sure they were all thankful for the healing, but there was one of them that it got him somewhere else besides in the. Besides all over, it got him here. And he went back. And he says, I don't have anything else I can offer to you, but I just want you to know that I appreciate it. You know how much that does for people? How much that touches people's hearts and their lives to have somebody that they've just, that they don't feel like they've made any difference. Like something they're doing may not amount to much of nothing at all. And then for the simplest little act of kindness that somebody walks up and says, I just want you to know I appreciate you. Boy, that's a blessing, man. And then to think about how profound it is for the Creator of heaven and earth to have everything that He has, the cattle of a thousand hills, a kingdom on high, and a home prepared for the love of His life that's fixing to come and be at home with Him one day. And He does something for her, and the only thing He could, and nothing could bless Him more than for her to turn her eyes toward Him. And with a tear in her eye and with joy in her heart, she just says, thank you. Now that's profound. That's one of them, when you sit here and think about, man, all He's done for me and what would bless you more than for me to sing a thousand hymns, to read a thousand chapters, more than anything, just to bless you with just sincerely stopping for 5 seconds and just saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you. You know it? I mean, I'm telling you, that's profound to me. Just to think that blesses Him, that would bless Him that much. Just to take a second, just to tell Him thank you. John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. And there they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag, and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Father, help us as we endeavor to try to preach this. Lord, just bless the feeble attempt that it might be. But Lord, let it be something that means something to somebody, to help them and to feed them, to give them something that they might need, to carry them over. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. In Christ's name, amen. All right, I want you to notice a couple of things. You need to notice, number one, notice some of that good old Southern hospitality, because in verse 2 it says that they made Him some supper. Like I said, a lot of times, especially in the South, well, there ain't no other way that people like to show their appreciation to folks than to feed them. They like to feed them. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, years and years ago, now I'm not throwing a hint, hint, wink, wink out there, so please don't nobody think that, but I can remember even when I was a little boy and my dad being a pastor, my dad's been a pastor as long as I've been in the world, and I can remember that at least once or twice out of the month whenever we'd go to Sunday service, whenever we got done with Sunday service, somebody from the church was offering to take Dad home and feed him supper, and feed not only him, but God have mercy, my brother, sister, and myself, and they would take us home and they'd feed Dad dinner. And it wasn't, you know, like it was a rule or something like that. It was just the way the people showed that they appreciated, you know. They showed, and like I said, I'm not trying to throw hints out there or nothing like that. That's just the way Southern hospitality has always been. Huh? I mean, what better way to get together a bunch of people under the same thought process and the same accord than to put dinner down in front of them. I've often said that I don't think Baptists could ever have a special get-together without there being some sort of food on the table. I mean, this fifth Sunday night services that we were having, I mean, here we started off and it was just two churches, us and Yellow Mountain, and we'd meet on fifth Sunday nights, have church, and go home. And now since Brother Greg's church and all of them have joined in, and now we've got other churches that are involved now, and now we can't, none of us get together to do anything, whether it's a fifth Sunday night service, a 4th of July something, or it doesn't matter what it is, we can't, none of us get together at nobody's church without there being a table full of food somewhere for somebody to sit sit down and eat. Now, that's just the way that hospitality goes down here in this part of the country, and it wasn't no different during this day and time. But again, it's like we said, how do you show gratitude towards somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ who just performed the miracle that he did in taking these two girls who were heartbroken and distraught over their brother's death and raise him from the dead, and now here he sits at the table fixing to sit down and eat with them again. But see, that's what I'm just kind of, but it's not only that. It goes beyond even that, because you notice how the three characters that are involved in the previous story and now the role that they're playing in the story in chapter 12, because number one, you've got Martha, and it says, verse 2, there they made him supper and Martha served. You see, that was Martha's thing. Martha was always serving. I mean, in Martha's eyes, the busier she was, the better she was. That was her thought process. The busier I am, the better I am. But here's the thing about it is actually the more accurate statement would be, the busier she was, the better she thought she was. Sometimes becoming so busy in service to, whether it's to God or to your family or to your church or whoever it might be, sometimes the busier you are, it's like a preacher told me one time, sometimes you can be so busy serving God that you're too busy to serve God. You see, it's a difference in a heart thing. When you've got your heart into something, you can make a difference. A preacher told me one time, he said, a message born in the heart of the preacher will reach the heart of the congregation. And if that thing don't speak to me, it ain't going to speak to you. I'm going to tell you something. I've been on this. This has been on me all night and all day. And I thought to myself, Lord, if this don't do nothing, I hope it helps people to have a different outlook on how we ought to be more grateful to the things of God that you've done for us. I mean, we could all do with some more gratitude. I mean, we could all be more thankful than what we are. That goes without saying. But the thing about it is with these three characters, you see so many different levels of how they showed their gratitude. And the one thing Martha always banked on was, is I show my gratitude by staying busy. But see, the busier she was, the better she thought she was. But it wasn't the case. Do you remember the other time whenever Martha's in the kitchen serving and here's Mary at the feet of the Lord and Martha comes in and she says, Lord, don't it bother you at all that I'm in here sweating over this stove and these hot biscuits and all this food that I'm trying to get ready for this crowd of people that's around here to listen to you preach and my sister won't even get up and come and help me. Lord, would you please tell her to come in here and help me? And the Lord says, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. You know, you get too busy, you get to worrying too much. The busier you are, the more you got to worry about. So here's Martha, and she's so busy, she's gotten worried about, am I going to have the biscuits going to burn? Is the gravy going to be lumpy? Is the eggs going to get cold before the other stuff's ready? Well, the bacon, oh wait, they're Jews, they can't eat bacon. The, I about said ham, they ain't going to eat no ham either, are they? But anyway, the fish, there we go, we'll say fish, you know, the fish, is it going to be cold by the time the other stuff, and by the time the preacher winds up his preaching, are we going to be able to even, you know, are the people going to be so starved to death, is anything going to be on the table? The busier we make ourselves oftentimes means there's more to worry about. And there's more to be worried about, and the more we worry, the less we're reminded to be thankful. The more we worry, the more likely we are to forget about what it is God actually did. I mean, you think about that. Here, this poor sweet woman is in here serving to beat the band, and she comes in there, and she steps in front of the man who just raised her brother from the dead and said, would you please tell my sister to get up and come in here and help me? And he says, Martha, Martha, thou art worried about many things. Thou art troubled about many things. He said, but she has chosen the better part. Sometimes it does good just to stop. You know, some people, they're so, I about said stupid, but I ain't going to say that. I'll be kind. There's some people are just, they're so stubborn. That's a good word for it. They're so stubborn, they don't know when to slow down. And you know what? The Lord took that into account. You know how I know he took that into account? Because of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want, right? He'll take care of everything I need. But then what's the very next line? That's the next one. He maketh me to lie down. He didn't ask me to lie down. He didn't invite me to lay down. He maketh me to lie down because sometimes he knows better than I do what I need. That little one right there, even when she don't want to, her mama knows when she needs a nap. And even if she's fighting it with everything she's worth, mama takes her upstairs and puts her in the bed because mama knows she's tired. And a parent knows better than the child does when the child needs to sleep and rest. And your Heavenly Father knows better than you do when it's time to slow down and quit getting so busy and take a break for a minute. And sometimes when we don't take a break on our own and we don't take a break of our own self, of our own volition, he'll help us to figure out a way to take a break. Sometimes it pays just to slow down. I'd hate for the Lord to have to hit the e-brake on me because I was too busy. Amen. All right, so here's Martha. But then right beside of the Lord sitting at the table is the very one that he raised from the dead. Let me put this question out there for you. I guess just something for you to, chew on for just a minute while we get ready to go into Lazarus here. But do you ever invite the Lord to supper? Have you ever done that? Have you ever invited him to come sit down and eat with you? Yeah. Well, and I tell you, the reason I'm asking you is because a lot of times I think we don't mean to, I don't think, but it gets to be a habit. I mean, how many of us sit down at the dinner table and we sit there and the food's open and your mouth's already watering to beat the band and you're looking up to see who hasn't got their plate yet, and then when they don't and you see it's going to be another minute or two, you're, you know. We learned early on, the bigger the family got, the better it is to everybody just sit down at the table. Nobody's got food yet. All right, bow your heads. That way, when you go get your food and you get back, you just start eating. But you know, oftentimes I think we sit down at the dinner table, and instead of remembering to invite the Lord to come and eat with us, we're just so quick to say, Lord, bless this. We want him to bless it. But how many times do we forget to invite him to come sit down and eat with us? As strange as it might sound. Heard an old preacher one time, Brother Candler, he said that never one time would he go to get in his vehicle without first walking around to the passenger side, opening the door and say, Lord, would you like to ride with me? Literally, open the door. Lord, would you like to ride with me? Shut the door. Walk around and get in. Buckle his seatbelt. And he'd ride down the road and he'd talk to the Lord like the Lord was sitting in the seat right beside him. You know something? I tried that this morning. I'm going to tell you something. I've been up all morning. I've been up since the early hours of the morning this morning thinking about this and praying over this and then having to get ready to go to work. And when I went out and got in the truck, I went out and cranked the truck and let it warm up. And when I went to go get in the truck, it just dawned on me and I just went. And I stepped around to the passenger side and I opened the door. I said, Lord, would you go to work with me this morning? I shut the door, went around, I got in the driver's side, and I backed out, and as I got headed down the mountain, I just started talking to him like he was sitting there. I reached over and got my prayer book, and I opened it up, and I started just bringing the things before him and said, Lord, you know what's going on, and I don't. Would you help these families and these people? And I got to that one line up there at the very top where it said revival, and I said, God, I said, would you please help us? We need revival. And boy, the tears just began to roll. And I'm going to tell you something, man. He just slid over there next to me, put his arm around me, and I said, Lord, you know I need revival, something awful. I know I just got out of a 5-day meeting in Jacksonville, but Lord, that for me, that was the tune-up. That was just a tune-up for what I need. I need you to just, we need it so bad. Man, I tell you, you talk about something that'll get you, it'll get you through sometimes. Something as simple as just asking the Lord to get in a vehicle and ride with you. or just as simple as sitting down at the dinner table and inviting him to come and sit down and eat with you. I think about Elijah over there at the juniper tree and sitting underneath the juniper tree, and here he's wore out and he's give out and he's done asked the Lord to take his life from him because he's so tired of fighting the battle and he's so tired and he's wore out. And then the Lord opens, or he falls asleep laying there under the juniper tree, and as he opens his eyes and he wakes up, and now he sees the fires burning and he smells the biscuits that's been cooking on the hearth over there, and here's a cruse of water that's sitting at his head, and the angel of the Lord reaches down and touches him. He says, "Hey, arise and eat." And here Elijah, the old preacher, gets up and he just rolls over on his whatever he might have been laying on. He may not have been laying on nothing. For all I know, he could have been just laying in the sand. And he just rolls over and he sits up and crosses his legs, and they're sore from all the walking that he did. He went a day's journey beyond where he left his servant. And he's sitting there and he rolls his legs up and under him, and he reaches and he gets the food. And as he bows his head, he says, "Lord, please bless this." And the Holy Spirit of God reached down and touched him on the shoulder and said, "I already have. I prepared it for you." Man. And then as the old man begins to eat and to drink, and boy, it just tastes so good and it just melts in his mouth. It's baked to perfection and the water is just so cool and so refreshing as it washes down his throat and down into his insides. He just feels the cool as it just goes down. He's in a desert place now and there's no water. And as he lays there and he takes sips from the water of life that's been presented to him by the angel of the Lord, and then I believe the Lord just comes and he just sits down across the fire from him and he says, "All right, let's talk about things." And he says, "Lord, I've been very jealous for the Lord God." He said, "They've slain your prophets, they've thrown down your altars, and I'm the only one left." You know, I wonder what kind of fellowship he had talking to the Lord that day just by simply accepting what God had given him and being thankful for it. How many times do we miss out on a fellowship with the Lord? It doesn't matter if there would, it wouldn't matter if there was just me sitting at the table or if it was me and my entire family sitting at the table. And this is just something that's just come on me here lately. Is just, I don't know that I'd want to miss fellowship with the Lord simply because I missed out on inviting him to come sit down and eat with me. But here they are, they're sitting, they've made him supper. Martha's in there serving. But now here's Lazarus, and he's at the table. Because it says Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So here's the Lord, and he's at the table, but here's Lazarus at the table. But you know what you understand, according to that verse, is that Lazarus and the Lord are not the only two at the table. There's more people at the table. And it ain't just Mary, too. There's other people there that are sitting at that table. But you know, I have to ask myself, and as I was looking over this, one of the things that I really wondered was, I wonder how many of the other people sitting around that table, aside from Lazarus, were truly grateful to be there. You know? What about Mary? Well, Mary, I don't think Mary was at the table. Say, where was she? Probably back in her room getting that big old thing of spikenard and that ointment and all that stuff together that took a year's worth of wages to purchase. And she was probably back in her room gathering all that stuff, getting ready to come out and give him an offering. So here at the table, and Martha's in the kitchen over there serving, and so here at the table sits Lazarus, the Lord, and just another group of people. And I almost wonder if the people that were sitting at the table with the Lord and Lazarus were as glad to be there and as thankful to be there as Lazarus was. You wonder it though, right? I mean, it'd be hard to think about the fact that, I mean, isn't it funny about, and you just think about this, isn't it funny how grateful you become when the Lord brings you out of whatever grave you might have been in? You know, whatever that tomb might have been that had you bound, and the Lord tell the people that are around, "Hey, roll the stone back." And then he calls to you and he says, "Come on out of there. You've been in there long enough. Come on out." But Lord, he stinks. I don't think we want him out of there. No, I want him out of there. Get out of there. But then the Lord, now you know the Lord could have I almost picture it like you've seen how a yo-yo works, right? You pick up the yo-yo, and if you don't do it just right, then the thing gets all wound up, and then it's real slow. And then it gets to the bottom, and it's not spinning like this. Then it eventually turns sideways, and it's doing like that, you know? I almost wonder if the Lord couldn't have reached over and picked that Lazarus up by the one hem of that grave clothes and watched that thing do like this. And plop, and out on the ground he goes, you know? The Lord could have turned him loose, but he didn't. He told the people that was there, loose him, let him go. You know what the Lord, I believe, was doing right there? I believe he was giving somebody else an opportunity to get involved with something that they could be thankful for. You ever thought about some time when God helped you be useful in the means and the ways of somebody getting an escape out of whatever grave they might have been in? Maybe that was the people sitting at the table with Lazarus and the Lord. They were sitting at the table and they were sitting around getting ready to eat. And the one that was most grateful was the one that he brought out of the tomb. I wonder if the others were as thankful to be there as he was. I doubt it. But then we come to Mary, and I'm going to go through her, and then we'll cut it off. It says in verse 3, "Then took Mary a pound of spikenard ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair." And it says the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary's offering of gratitude came from the best that she had to offer. It wasn't her second best. It was the best she had to offer. Because she counted him worthy of everything she could give him. If you remember back at the previous chapter, whenever Martha leaves the house and runs to meet the Lord while he's on the way, she says, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." But if you remember when she gets back and she tells Mary, "The Lord's coming and he's calling for you." Mary comes to him and she says the exact same thing. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." What was the difference? Her approach. That's right. Because it says that when she came up and got to him, down she went. That was the difference. Because the Bible says that whenever he saw her, he grieved in his spirit. You see what the difference is? What difference an approach can make? And now here's that one, the one that came to him with the same question that her sister came with, yet she comes with the right approach. And now here she is, and she's offering this, she's ready to give this offering of the best that she had. He was the best thing that had ever happened to her. She was going to give him the best that she had to give him. Boy, if we could buy in on that. I mean, if Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to you, don't you reckon he's worthy to have the best that you've got to offer? Amen. I believe so. But here's something I want you to notice, that this was not something done by Mary in hopes that somebody would see what she was doing. Because you notice where she put it? Put it on his feet. Exactly where she went and met him. Right there. She wasn't looking to make a big show and walk in and pour it on his head. And that wasn't what she was looking for. She walked in there and she poured it on his feet. Because she wasn't interested in somebody else seeing what she was doing. This was something personal between her and him. She didn't want anybody else to know that. But she used, and this is what gets me. And this kind of just falls into something else that you need to think about. But whenever she pours that on his feet, she then takes what is her own glory. Because the Bible teaches that a glory of a woman is her hair. And she takes that hair and she begins to wipe the feet. Now, this is where it gets even more profound. Now, you just, this may not be very, very deep, but it's very practical and very good. Take notice, if you would, that the offering of thankfulness testified of her. Say, how do you mean? Because it says that, number one, it says at the end of the verse, the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. All right? But that's not where it goes. See, everyone could smell it. Anybody that was in the house could smell that. But here's the other thing. It meant that his feet smelled of it. You know what that showed? That showed that he walked in their house. Now, I say, like I said, it ain't deep. But the fact that that was on his feet and that odor filled the house, even after he left the house, he still had that smell on him, which testified of her, that he spent time in her house. I wonder how much of him people can see on us that testifies that he spends time at our house. And then not only that, but her hair smelled of it too, which showed that she had been at his feet. Man, I don't know if that does anything for anybody else, but that, I mean, I may not be jumping stumps here, but sometimes when the Lord's doing something on you, it ain't always about a shout and a jump and a holler. You know what I've learned oftentimes is when the Lord really sets in with me, usually it's a lot quieter than what it is whenever I'm just excited. But I want to show you just a couple of things, and I'm going to quit because she's getting beside herself over here. We got one more character that's talked about in this passage. And this one is somebody who's going to be looking at your gratitude, watching you. How thankful are you? But this one here, it says in verse 4, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" I want to tell you first and foremost, griping is infectious. He doesn't care none at all. It says in verse 6, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." Now, in this particular case, it was money. And he's wanting to know, why wasn't this sold? Because that would have made my bag a little heavier. He didn't care about the poor. He just cared about how heavy that bag was. Now, as I was reading this, I don't know if you noticed, and I didn't do it on purpose, but as I was reading this when we first started and I was reading the scripture to y'all, I don't know if you noticed, but I got to that part right there and I paused for just a minute. And the reason I paused is because something just kind of poked in my heart. And it's because it didn't say that he had money in there. What does it say? It said, "But because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." And that oftentimes brought to my mind, you could preach this message. Mary brought the offering and put it at his feet. How many of us would rather take it and put it in the bag? He's worthy of it. But yet so many times we'll say, "All right, Lord, I'm going to give you this and put this at your feet, but I'm going to take this and I'm going to put it in the bag." When he's saying, "I just want it all." You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody's drove by Hamburg Church here lately and seen their sign out there. They've had the same thing on the sign for like over a month now. I might call Brother Greg and say, "Y'all got to change that. I need another message." But it's funny. You know what it says? It says, "God wants full custody, not just weekend visits." I thought that was pretty good. Griping's infectious. How do you know that? Because when you read about this account in Mark 14, you know what it says? It says that it wasn't just Judas, but it said the disciples murmured. Griping's infectious. Somebody ought to be more grateful, show some more gratuity. Instead, what they're doing is they're griping. And the one thing that they'll generally gripe about is how generous and how grateful somebody else is trying to be. Critical. All the time. It's generally that way. But I want to show you something, what happens here. Come real quick to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to shut it down right here. Note to self, don't leave Katie's blanket at home ever again. Because I drove out of there, and Heather said, we forgot her blanket. And I said, she'll be all right. No, it ain't been all right. Hebrews chapter 12, look at what he says in verse 15. Well, go 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. One little root of bitterness in one person's heart. Griping produces gripers. Because when we gripe to somebody, they're going to gripe to somebody too. I was always taught gripes go up. Always. And the higher up on the chain I got, the more I got to hating gripers. Because it started at the bottom. By the time it got from the bottom to the top, a little gripe turned into a big gripe. And then I wonder about how the Lord looks down. That's it. That's the nail on the head. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But it's funny how a little snowflake turns into an avalanche by the time it gets to the bottom of the hill. Griping produces gripers. Our little kids get it right whenever they sing. Y'all remember that song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. But I get to the part, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Because the Father up above, looking down in love. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. You know why I believe that's a very, very, very good habit to make? Because when the Lord is accepting the gratitude of somebody that He's done something for, and somebody is in the background griping about it, they're painting a great big target right on their back for the devil to come along and steal their joy, steal their happiness, steal their gratitude. And you know what's going to happen to all of it? Instead of it going at the feet of the Lord where it belongs, it's going to go in the bag. And guess who's holding the bag? A devil. Have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. I preached the message even if I didn't want to. Preached it in 5 minutes. Isn't that good? Y'all said an hour and 20 minutes Sunday night, and this one message, he preached that little mini message in 5 minutes. It's better to be thankful. Better to show gratitude. And when you show it, you don't do it in the sense of the busier I am, the better I think I am. Because busyness doesn't show anything except that you can be busy. I mean, you can do a whole lot of work and show a whole lot of effort, but if ain't no heart in it, it's all for nothing. And we sit down at the table, it's best to think about what He's brought you through and what He's brought you out of, what He set you free from. Make you thankful to be sitting at the table, and it'll make you more apt to invite Him to come and sit down with you. But also, it'll make you realize how important it is that when you come to say thank you, you bring Him the best of what you've got. And you don't worry about who might gripe about it. Because the one doing the griping is a devil who's holding a bag that desires to have your gratitude put in his bag versus put at the feet of the Master. better just be grateful for whatever it is. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I feel like this is it. I've said all I need to say. Would you go with us now into our prayer meeting? And Lord, help us to be thankful for what you've done. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.